And so it's first finding out where people are in the space, and then creating a plan to educate them, and then being able to train students with our administrative team that should be supporting digital learning in the classroom to have better uses, which all goes back to digital citizenship. But digital citizenship means nothing unless people understand what's going on and what the challenges are and what the platforms are and how to use them.
You're listening to the SmartSocial.com podcast. I'm your host, Josh Oates. This is our District Talk segment where we interview district leaders to learn how they're keeping students safe on social media so those students can someday shine online. Now, let's get back to the interview.
I'm Chris Gaines. I'm superintendent of the Melville School District in suburban St. Louis. We've got about 10,000 kids spread over 11 elementaries, 4 middle schools, 2 high schools, and an early childhood center.
Hi, my name is Terrence Davis. I am the superintendent of Banning Unified School District, which is in Southern California, about 30 miles west of Palm Springs. We have 4,500 students serving 9 schools and about 250 employees.
I'm Becca Lehman. I'm the superintendent of Ball Chatham CUSD 5 in Chatham, Illinois, which is a suburb of Springfield, Illinois. We have approximately 4,600 students who are housed in 6 buildings.
How have you been successful in increasing parent engagement to help keep students safe on social media?
So one of the things that we've done has been through our communications kind of advisory group, which is Board of Education committee with citizen representatives, parents, and they really have helped to guide us in kind of what they want to see and what they think is working and not working for us. So just really engaging them and getting a better understanding of what it is that they're looking for their kids and for themselves, you know, because if it's out of social media, depending on what platform, right? Parents are knowing about what kids are doing because kids are sharing, especially in with threats, right? You know, somebody said something. I always say that high school kids, no matter where they are, seem to be a little bit self-centered. You know, we have a Melville High School, so it's MHS. And if there's a threat somewhere in the country against an MHS, we think it's us. It doesn't matter that, you know, there might be 5 other MHSs within a 50-mile radius, but it's got to be us, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, well, that is something that we're going to continue to work on. We're kind of in our infancy stages in that. And that really goes back to having parent advisory meetings, having meetings where we bring parents in and we hear their concerns, because the parents have the same concern, and then sharing with the parents what our plans are, one, and then getting some feedback and insight from them in terms of the challenges that they're having at home, and then creating a plan on how we can work collectively. So that is a thought that I have for this upcoming year, but it has been something that we haven't really moved forward with, but these are some ideas about how we can assist parents at home to assist their students at home and in the space in the school environment.
So I think our first line of defense is just sharing with parents through newsletters and publications, things that they need to be aware of. So I try to put tips in our district newsletter that comes out about every 6 weeks about being aware, making sure our parents are informed of some of the national trends that are happening that they may not be, like the latest national TikTok challenge that might be circling around, that our parents aren't on that platform as much. And so making sure that they're aware. I think it's just also making sure that we're using our social media platforms to help engage our parents. We know that's meeting them where they are. They're checking probably our Facebook account more than they're reading our newsletters. And so just making sure that we're cross-platforming our information as well. And again, I'm going to go back to making sure our staff is a role model and highlighting what that looks like so that people understand that. So again, making those personal phone calls back to parents and trying to dispel some of the other things that are happening. Looking towards the future, I think we're in a place where we are looking at next year of a monthly parent engagement night, bringing parents in and having some connections with our local state police, coming in and talking about digital cybersecurity issues, things that parents need to be aware of, and really helping them understand how technology is changing at a rate so quickly that they're probably out of date to what their students are capable of doing.
Are there any stories that come to mind about any social media incidents you've been able to get in front of or avoid by being proactive?
So we've been very reactive for a long time. We were getting a lot of just miscellaneous threats back in the early fall of 22. And it was just spreading like wildfire among our student body. And so our principals met with kind of our student leadership groups to get a better understanding of why do you share this stuff, right? Because with the more you share it, the harder it is for us to track it to its source, right? And our kids are like, well, we're just trying to make sure all our friends know so they're safe. And they're like, but you're not helping. You're actually hindering our ability to be able to track it. So actually having conversations with kids and getting kids to understand that spreading it doesn't help, we actually saw a decrease. So we kind of started out reactionary, but then we kind of got a little bit proactive when we actually had conversations with kids about it.
So I'm a pretty candid and straight to the point type of person. So and that gets me in trouble sometimes, but I don't worry about that because I speak the truth and it's my truth. And so there was an incident recently where there was a substitute in the class and some alleged inappropriate behavior. So what we try to do is layer the response. So I don't want to send a notice out to the entire district and staff if it's just isolated at a site. And I don't want to do that at a site if it's isolated in the classroom. So we started with the site in communicating to the parents in the class, and it started to blow up. So the news got it. And so then what I did prior to the news getting it, we put our response to that back in the Facebook feed where the original complaint came up. That way we're addressing that live feed there and then watched how it progressed to determine, do we need to do all district? Do we need to contact the media? And we were able to kind of nip it in the bud. That way it was addressed at that local level where people saw it. And so that's just being astute and being aware of how things go, but you have to be fluid with your responses.
So I'm a first-year superintendent, and coming into this district, one of the major changes that I put in place was some security protocols. We had previously some open door policies on some big day events. And we really went back to, we need to be using our Raptor system and screening people as they're coming in. And so this was a change for our community. So we tried to be proactive and get the message out there as much as we could. Most times it was the first event that parents were going to be attending is when they finally took notice of what was happening. It started to kind of fan out across social media a little bit with some disgruntlement. But I think really that proactive approach of getting the information out, sharing, making sure that all of my school administrators were on the same page with the information, making sure our staff was aware of the changes and feeling valued and that we were making changes to protect them as well, really helped us develop some proactive social media support. And so we've been able to build a pretty good network of parents and staff members who are willing to interact with perhaps the negative statements by turning that around and sharing the facts or the positive side of why this particular change has been made. And that's been helping to sort of tame down some of the flames that people are wanting to ignite.
What would your advice be to educators and administrators to work together to create a culture of digital safety and responsibility in their schools?
You know, this is kind of it's kind of a hard one. Other than I think to say, adults have got to set the example for good usage of technology, whether that's for learning or whether that's on the social media side, right? And the sharing of information and how we talk about others online, especially, we just really got, as adults, I think, we have to set the example for what is positive and what is good usage.
Yeah. And first of all, if I think about that, that means do all of the educators understand what the platforms are and how students are using it and how can they use it to better serve students? That to me is first and foremost, because things come in like ChatGPT. And when I ask about that, or actually, David, you just asked about that, not a whole lot of people know about it. And so it's first finding out where people are in the space and then creating a plan to educate them and then being able to train students with our administrative team that should be supporting digital learning in the classroom to have better uses, which all goes back to digital citizenship. But digital citizenship means nothing unless people understand what's going on and what the challenges are and what the platforms are and how to use them.
I think the first thing is that they must be a continuous learner. Technology is changing at a rate faster than we can ever imagine. New apps, new programs are coming out every single day. So one, making sure that they're not stagnant using something because it came out 10 years ago and that's the one thing that they learned how to use and they know how to use, that they're willing to model trying and failing. So being willing to roll out a new app or piece of technology with their class and allow kids to see them struggle with that a little bit and modeling that grit and perseverance and how to move forward. And then I would just say, again, going back to the rule of 95, make sure that we're not putting restrictions in because of fear. Instead, that we are promoting exploration and use of technology in an appropriate manner. And we're just dealing with the 5% of individuals who may not be utilizing that technology in the best way.
What are your 1 to 2 biggest social media concerns for the future?
I think social media overall can be a positive, but it's how you use it and what you consume. And so I think the how people consume stuff, it concerns me, and that so many people consume stuff within an echo chamber. So all they're hearing is one particular voice. And, you know, people can be not so nice to one another oftentimes. And I think it's easier to do that on social media sometimes. I think especially politicians don't always set a good example for responsible dialogue on social media.
I think one of the biggest concerns for me is misinformation. And I'm in a relatively smaller community where Facebook is kind of like fact, you know? So if it's on Facebook, it's fact. And so my biggest concern about that is people making decisions, people having anxiety based upon things that are not fact. And so one of the things we're working on our communication folks is scouring all those platforms. And when something comes out, ensuring that we switch the main information source from whoever it's coming from the district. That way we are the core. And so I think over time, and we're going to be building this, we're doing a better job now, but it's not where it needs to be. It's like, if you want the real source of information, it's on the district platforms. And so I think that can assist us because that miscommunication can create some major problems for students and staff. Because people tend to hurt each other behind a screen with words versus the reality of things.
I think my biggest fear is that devices are finding their way into the hands of younger and younger students without the digital citizenship lessons also happening at the same time. And so our younger students are having more access with less oversight. I think that my second one would probably be that as we increase our screen time, our lack of or inability to have face-to-face conversations and productive discord seems to be eroding, that we're handling everything in, behind the screen and struggling to have those conversations that are essential to functioning within a school system.
The last question I have for you is, funding is difficult. What advice would you give other districts to secure funding to create resources the parents need?
So I think the piece that you have to start with is asking parents, what is it that they do need? All right. We've done this in our district. Some of our neighbors have done the same. We pulled resources to bring people in, have parent university kind of pieces, right, to educate parents on what's really going on and kind of what's out there. And it, in some respects, it can turn into how to be a better parent lesson. We're kind of a larger district for our region and our state, but that still doesn't mean we're gonna do everything on our own. We've got a number of small districts around us, so we try to partner with them to deliver stuff to our parents.
The biggest thing that I think about in terms of resources is what are other successful organizations doing? Sometimes we don't always communicate with each other. So the larger districts have a lot more resources, and that's because they're connected to other people. The smaller districts kind of sometimes they just kind of are, have these blinders on. So it's really about connectivity with others, networking to find out what other people are using, and can you apply that within your own context? Because in every local area, there are good people trying to do good work who want to help and support, but it's tying into that. In order to do that, you have to be out there, you have to know, and you have to speak with your colleagues.
I think partnerships, 100% partnerships, and just knowing what you don't know that exists. So looking towards your state police or local police departments and the programs that they've already have developed on digital citizenship, going out to the Department of Education, who also are developing content and programs, and they're willing to come and share those with school district parents and officials. Turning to your Chamber of Commerce and local businesses, many who are owned and staffed by our parents, who these are important topics and they're willing to support them. They just may not have been asked in the past how they can offer their services to support those programs. And then lastly, just learning from other districts. So reaching out in your professional learning groups and seeing what other school districts are doing and copying those ideas, and because someone else's may has a great resource that you haven't thought of.
Thanks for listening to our SmartSocial.com podcast. I'm your host, Josh Oakes. This was our District Talk segment where we interview school district leaders to learn how they're keeping students safe on social media so those students can someday launch into their future by shining online. This episode was brought to you by our SmartSocial.com VIP program. It's called the Very Informed Parent Program, which helps you engage your students with teen-led video lessons. Stay one step ahead with our premium parent newsletter and discover hidden features on trending apps on teens' phones and our 54-plus live parent and student-friendly events every single year. You can click on the link below to chat with one of our team members if you want a free pass to our VIP program to support your community with our SmartSocial.com resources. And if you're a district leader who has a success story, we would love to feature you on a future episode. You can click the links below to reach out. Thanks so much for listening, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Have a great day.